Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Dear brothers and sisters, when we talk about the subject of detachment, detaching from the place that you are presently in a way that is healthy, that you don't lose where you are in the present, but you always have your eye and your heart towards the future. We learned this methodology from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every minor and major detail. And I want to go back to a very common hadith that's cited, where a man comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, "Mata sa'a, O Messenger of Allah, when is the hour?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds with, "Ma a'datta laha," what have you prepared for the hour? Instead of asking when the hour is, ask yourself what you have prepared for the hour when it comes. And the reason why I start with the most commonly cited hadith in this regard is because if you were to take this hadith and extract from it a methodology beyond that which relates to specifically the Day of Judgment, you'll find that the Prophet ﷺ had this mindset with everything that he did in life, alayhi salatu wasalam. And so, for example, when it comes to the salah, as Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, that the salah of a person of ihsan, the salah of a person of excellence, and tuqbil ala Allahi biqalbika qabla badanik, that you approach Allah with your heart before your body, that before you actually arrived to the place of your prayer, you were already emotionally and spiritually there. Your heart arrived to the musalla before your body even got there. When it comes to Salatul Jum'ah, wadharul bay', leave behind everything else of your trade. If you were on your phone until the very last moment of the adhan, then it's very unlikely that you're spiritually able to engage the khutbah because you're still spiritually, emotionally, mentally back at work or whatever it is that you were doing. If you're on the phone right now, the validity of your Jum'ah is in question, by the way. So there's a different category there. But the first person that I'm speaking about, you actually have to worry about how long it takes to disconnect. So not only are you not present in Jum'ah, you're still present at what you left behind. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reverses that and says, approach Jum'ah, approach the prayer in the masjid and leave behind everything else, physically, emotionally, financially, put it all behind you and focus on where you are at. So arriving to a place spiritually before you physically get there. If you forget everything else that I'm going to say, remember this inshallah ta'ala and ask yourself, do I arrive at a place spiritually before I physically get there? Whether it is my salah, whether it is my grave, whether it is the Day of Judgment, or if I am young today, have I spiritually already arrived at old age? And if I am in health today, have I spiritually already arrived at sickness? And if I have money today, have I spiritually already arrived in poverty? What do I mean by that? Have I prepared myself and rehearsed the scenario of where I will be in the future so many times that when it comes, it's actually natural? And the entire time I'm connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not another circumstance in place of the circumstance, by the way. Because the circumstance that you fear might never come. You might never experience sickness. Allah azza wa jal might take your life suddenly. You might never experience poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might take you while you're wealthy. You might never experience persecution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might take you from this world while you're still safe and living a life of privilege. But you've put yourself in the circumstance in a way that you connect to Allah if that time were to come, so that if that time comes, Allah will find your heart consistently connected to Him. The pulse of your spirituality has not changed. You're already settled in the moment before it arrived. So let's walk this back a bit, inshallah ta'ala. The furthest place away from us right now in terms of a meeting, at least by our calculations, is the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet ﷺ is telling you to rehearse that moment over and over and over again in your life so that you can spiritually arrive there before you physically get there. What if you rolled that back and someone says, "Mata khuruj ad-dajjal?" When is Dajjal coming out? And you ask yourself right away, "Ma a'dadta laha?" What did I prepare for it? When is civil war going to come? I'm not preaching civil war from the manbar, by the way. But, you know, we all talk about like collapse of societies and everything breaking down and like things getting really difficult for us. And at some point, إِنَّ النَّاسَ إِذَا رَأُوا الْمُنْكَرُ لَا يُغَيِّرُونَ. As the Prophet ﷺ said, when people see an evil and they don't change it, أَوْشَكَ أَنْ يَعْمَهُمُ اللَّهُ بِعِقَابِ. It might be that the punishment extends to everybody else because they didn't change the evil that was in their midst. So if things were to break down because of the failure of the world to stop the most evil genocide that is playing out on our screens, and we were to find ourselves in an adverse situation, مَا عَدَّتَ لَهَا. What have you prepared for? Do you already have in your mind and in your heart and in your spirituality what you would do? Have you arrived to that place spiritually before it physically arrived while asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection? That is true for every single one of the adverse signs of the Day of Judgment. And you have to approach it that way. You know, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he was asked by a person, "Are Ya'juj and Ma'juj Muslim or Kafir?" Like, are they going to be claiming to be Muslim? Or are they going to be outright Kafir? You know what he said to him? He said, "Do you know the dua when you enter into the masjid?" And the man said, "No." He said, "Learn that first. Focus on learning the dua to enter into the masjid before you try to come to some, you know, super convoluted answer about something in the future that you're never really going to be able to diagnose, right? Like, before you get to these forecasts and these things that have no benefit to you, what have you prepared for that moment? What have you prepared for every single thing that you read about and attached yourself to a version of yourself that you want to be should that moment arrive in your lifetime? That's the question. It's always spiritually transcending the physical moment and being there. You know what that looked like in the time of the Prophet ﷺ? It looked like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. For months before the Prophet ﷺ comes to him and tells him that he's going to be his companion on the hijrah, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu had these two camels to the side that he nurtured, that he took care of, so that when the moment comes, if it comes that the Prophet ﷺ asks me for a suhbah, for his companionship on the journey, I'm ready to go. He's already played out the hijrah in his mind so many times, he's rehearsed it to where the response came natural. How many of those companions of the Prophet ﷺ that found themselves in the battlefield of Uhud had already played that exact scenario out a million times before they actually found themselves there? You think they just rise to the moment in the moment? They arrived at the moment well before they physically got there. It's spiritually putting yourself there before you actually get there. The scholars mentioned that that is of two types. One of them are the inevitable natural progressions in life. And so who are the most successful young people? Throughout history, by the way, the most successful young people are those that transcended their youth and already went ahead of their years. They actually say ahead of your years, and planned in reverse. So I'm physically 13 or 14 or 15 or 16, but I'm spiritually and mentally already in my 30s. And I'm looking back at how I need to craft a physical life to arrive at the spiritual place I want to be when I get to that place. There's a natural progression, things that are inevitable in the cycle of life, unless something tragic happens. And then there are the what ifs. And for the what ifs, the believer prepares themselves emotionally, spiritually, for worst case scenarios. Because the worst thing that can happen to you, if you prepared yourself for a worst case scenario, is that something of a lesser severity comes of that and you rise with ihsan to that occasion because you already prepared for way worse than that. So in my mind, I'm already preparing for a moment in which I have no money to my name. So if Allah Azza wa Jalla tests me with half of my wealth, with 75% of my wealth, I've already prepared myself mentally, emotionally, spiritually, for what it would look like to have no wealth whatsoever. I've already told myself what I'm going to say. I've already asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the firmness in that situation. I'm not attached to a particular circumstance. Alhamdulillah. When it comes to people in our lives, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our loved ones. May Allah azza wa jalla preserve our families. Think about the people of Gaza and the scenarios that they've had to play in their minds over and over and over again. As hurt and as painful as it is for them to lose their loved ones, you think that not each and every single one of them has already played out that scenario in their minds? That Allah Azza wa Jal may test me with this. I might find myself in this situation. So yes, it's going to shock, because experiencing is not the same as preparing. But at the end of the day, I have attached myself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not put myself in a situation to where I take too much comfort in this dunya or find my stability in the matters of this world. I approach life like a stranger, where I see it as a place that is inherently unstable, that is predictably unpredictable. It's meant to be deceiving. It's meant to be uncomfortable. Things are going to happen in my life. Let me spiritually put myself ahead without divorcing the moment that I am in. And that's the thing about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was still physically present. He was still emotionally present. But he was spiritually transcendent, alayhi salatu wasalam, and already looking towards the future all the time. Already looking towards that moment with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can read about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his family and with his companions and say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was unhealthily detached. How do you achieve that? Perspective. By practicing daily detachment in a way that is healthy. You know how you practice daily detachment, dear brothers and sisters? You give of your money regularly. You are used to the visual of your bank account going from this number to that number, fi sabilillah. You're used to it. You do it all the time, voluntarily. And so if a moment comes to where you're shocked and that number decreases, without you having prepared for it, you're already used to seeing that number go down. You learn to detach from the people around you. How? By neglecting.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
No, detachment is not neglect. They have rights upon you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned. You love them fully. You maintain ihsan, excellence towards them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know how you detach from them? What Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, that the man sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that beautiful, pure, perfect man alayhi salatu wasalam, who was so attentive to the moment that he was in, that he would drink from the same part of the glass that Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha drank from. But when the call of salah was made, كَأَنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفُنَا, it was as if he didn't even know who we were anymore. Think about how profound that is. He knew the place that I put my mouth on the glass a moment ago. But when Allah Azza wa Jal called him, كَأَنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفُنَا, it was as if he didn't know us anymore. Not that he was neglectful, but I have to go to salah. You're already practicing a daily sense of full detachment. You don't do that if when you go to your salah, you're carrying a million things and then you're deliberating a million things in salah and then getting right back to it after salah. It doesn't work that way. You're practicing it on a regular basis. And so every single day, with your dhikr, with your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with your exposing yourself to those whom the dunya has betrayed so that it doesn't betray you. It's one of the things that the scholars of Suluk mention. That if you surround yourself with people who were not deluded by this world in the first place, or the world betrayed them, then you're less likely to be betrayed by it. Think of it this way. It's like if you knew a friend or you knew someone that stabs people in the back, and you already know four people that have been let down by that person. When you're with that person, it doesn't matter how charming that person is going to be. You spend time with the four people that that person has sold out. I already know who you are. And so when you're around people who have not been deluded by this dunya or who have been betrayed by its promise, then you're less likely to be deluded by it yourself. And that's one of the benefits of constant accompanying of the poor, constant accompanying of the oppressed, constant accompanying of the betrayed, constant accompanying of the sick. How am I going to ever be betrayed by the promise of health if I'm always around sick people? How am I going to think that I'm always going to live in safety and ease if I'm around people that have been betrayed by that promise? How will I be deluded by my money if I'm around people that are poor all the time? It's good for your heart. It's good for your mind. It keeps you calibrated. It reminds you who this dunya is, who this world is all the time, so that it never betrays you again. I know who you are. I know what you're putting forward. Likewise, dear brothers and sisters, when you look at the lives of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the way that they lived their lives in this regard, they trained themselves on a daily basis to transcend their circumstances. Do positive circumstances affect me in a disproportionate way? Do negative circumstances affect me in a disproportionate way? SubhanAllah, there's a very powerful statement from Imam Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala. He says, Wallahi, I'm going to have to read it in full because every single sentence is so beautiful. He said, Wallahi, لقد أدركت أقواما وصحبت طوائف منهم ما كانوا يفرحون بشيء من الدنيا إذا أقبلت ولا يحزنون على شيء منها إذا أدبرت. He said, I swear by Allah, I have known people. The implication is that he's talking about the Sahaba because he is a tabi'i. He's talking about the companions, or those who are the most righteous of the tabi'in. I have met people and kept company with groups amongst them who neither rejoiced when things of the world came to them, nor grieved when things of the world left them. By the way, he's talking about unhealthy happiness and unhealthy grief. Of course, we're happy when good things happen to us. We're sad when bad things happen to us. But he's saying that they were not handcuffed by the circumstance of joy or handcuffed by the circumstance of grief. He said, I met these people myself. وَمَا يُبَالُونَهَا أَشْرَقَتِ الدُّنْيَا أَمْ غَرَبَتْ. And they would not, or I'm sorry, before he said that, he said, وَكَانَتْ لَدَيْهِمْ أَهْوَنَ مِنَ التُّرَابِ الَّذِي تَسِيرُونَ عَلَيْهِ. The whole world was worth less to them than the dirt that you walk on. They saw the whole world with everything that it has as less than the dirt that you walk on. And he continues to say, وَمَا يُبَالُونَهَا أَشَرَقَتِ الدُّنْيَا أَمْ غَرَبَتْ. They would not mind if the dunya set upon them or if it rose upon them. They didn't. They saw sunrise and sunset as the exact same way. And he continues to say, and this is a very long narration, وَإِذَا أَقْبَلَهُمُ اللَّيْلُ قَامُوا عَلَىٰ أَطْرَافِهِمْ يَفْتَرِشُونَ وُجُوهَهُمْ تَجْرِي دُمُوعُهُمْ عَلَىٰ خُدُودِهِمْ. He said, and when the night would come upon them, they would present themselves to the night. They would set their feet, and then they would place their faces in the dirt, and their eyes would flow with tears until it came down their cheeks. يُنَاجُونَ مَوْلَاهُمْ فِي فَكِّرِ قَابِهِمْ وَإِذَا عَمِلُوا حَسَنَةً سَرَّتْهُمْ وَسَأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يَقْبَلَهَا. That they were people that would call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save them. And if they did something good, then they would spend their time asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept it. وَإِذَا عَمِلُوا سَيِّئًا سَاءَتْهُمْ. And if they committed a sin, then it grieved them. By the way, subhanAllah, Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah, he mentioned something to the effect that you should strive to get to a point that nothing pleases you more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nothing causes you fear more than your own sins. You fear nothing more than your sins, you want nothing more than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the emotional switch that has to happen. So what caused them happiness was when they were able to do good. They felt better when they gave something in sadaqah than when they bought something for themselves. They felt better when they spent time fi sabilillah than when they spent time on themselves. They enjoyed doing good deeds more than they enjoyed splurging on themselves. And what caused them grief was not when someone else did something to them, but when they sinned against themselves and they transgressed against themselves. So when they committed a sin, it bothered them. وَسَأَلُوا اللَّهَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَهَا. And they would ask Allah to forgive them. And he said, وَاللَّهِ مَا نَجَوْا مِنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ إِلَّا بِتَوْبَتِهِمْ وَالدَّائِمَةِ. So I swear by Allah that they were not safe from their sins except by the fact that they were always in a state of tawbah. Inaba, turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were turned back to Allah before the sin even happened. And so the sin was immediately put into perspective and forgiven. Can you put yourself in a situation to where the world around you happens, the circumstances happen, but you don't put your hope in those circumstances and you transcend those circumstances by always thinking one step ahead, by always spiritually being at a place that you are not physically at right now? Can you get there? And I'll end with two thoughts in this regard. Number one, with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the circumstances that came to him. One of the wisdoms that the ulama mentioned, that the scholars mentioned about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not losing Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha and Abu Talib right away. Aam al-Huzn, the year of grief, came years later than the point of revelation. Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala built in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the love of the Qur'an and the love of Qiyam. The love of the Qur'an and the love of that night prayer. Simultaneously, he's loving Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. He's finding that safety in the physical safety and protection of Abu Talib. But Allah azza wa jal was nurturing something else in the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to when that hit came, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had something to lean on. He didn't have Khadija anymore. He didn't have Abu Talib. But he had a decade's worth of learning the Qur'an and Qiyam to immediately take that to be his source of comfort and to spiritually be able to transcend the circumstances. He didn't love Khadija less. Khadija radiallahu anha would not have complained that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is getting so religious and so he's starting to pay less attention to me. No, he just loved Allah more. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. The love of Allah becomes more. And that love of Allah subsumes everything else and puts everything else in perspective. And so you have to nurture those habits to where you can weather those moments, because you're building into something that's transcendent. The last thing that I'll say to you is the saying of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu about az-zuhud, about asceticism. Very powerful saying. قَالَ لَيْسَ الزُّهُدْ أَلَّا تَمْنِكَ شَيْءٍ وَلَكِنَّهَا أَلَّا يَمْلِكَكَ شَيْئًا. He said that zuhud, asceticism, is not that you own nothing. It's that nothing owns you. A person can have the whole world in their hands, but it doesn't mean anything to them, except to the extent that it earns them the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they have gotten themselves used to using that for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person can have all the people around them, and they love those people for the sake of Allah, and they're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't love those people any less, but they love Allah more because of the presence of those people. They say, Alhamdulillah, Allah gave me these people as a gift. I'm pleased. And so, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذَ وَلَهُ مَا أَعْطَى. If Allah takes a person away, to Allah belongs what He took, and to Allah belongs what He gave. I'm at peace. I might be hurt, but I'm at peace. And I want you to think about this analogy. And I was thinking about, subhanAllah, if you found yourself in a situation to where you were at a place and let's say that you ran out of time. Let's say that you were at like a resort and your checkout time is 12 o'clock, and then the resort says, you know what, you can stay for another 8 hours. Those 8 hours will be more beloved to you than the whole 8 days, because you feel like you got something for free, like this was a gift. I didn't even pay for this. I just got these 8 hours. You're at a restaurant, or, you know, you're I guess something that's more relevant to if you're young, you're playing a game, right? You're at a bowling alley, and they change the clock, and they say, I'm going to give you another hour, another 30 minutes. That 30 minutes, that hour, you find more joy in it than anything else, or they're going to bring out a free dessert for you. I didn't pay for the dessert. You forget that you paid this much money for the whole meal, but then that dessert came for free. Oh my God, I'm so grateful for that extra. That's how you should treat every blessing you have in your life right now. We did nothing to deserve it. So you look around and say, Alhamdulillah, everything I have right now is that free dessert. That extra time. Every day, every circumstance should increase you in gratitude. But connect yourself to the bestower of all blessing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those that He's pleased with. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'il muslimin fastaghfiru innahu al-ghafurur rahim.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.